Dirty D, Shocker, an IcemanManiacs.com podcast exclusive.
Iceman Insights is going into overtime.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is!
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot. That's what she said. First circus. Vitaleri Filippula.
Use your big boy words.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Here we go. Overtime. What a world. What a world. What a world. Let's do it. I got a hot date.
I'm going to edit that out.
Are you really?
No.
That's good. That's good radio
there.
That's
wonderful stuff. So you said you were going to mention in overtime about a story about Patafi's tweet about you.
Oh, yeah. I had a really crappy bus trip. And first was that joke of a tweet that Patafi put, which was funny. Then I showed up late for the bus, so I got fined $25.
Oh, in the kangaroo court.
Yep. And but coach said, here's your option: you either get paid, you get fined $25, or you can't wear your fedora for two road games.
Oh, that's sacrilege.
And I said, I'll pay the $25.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
To which Brian Patafi said, maybe you ought to spend the $25 on an eye exam to see what you look like in that hat.
Nice.
So that's how my road trip started. And then I got invited out to dinner with all the players.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Roadhouse. Thought that was really cool.
That's nice.
Until they had the waitstaff come out and sing happy birthday to me.
Oh, really?
On November 18th. That's 18 days 18 after days my late. Birthday. So I got a feeling every time I get taken out with the players, I will be getting serenaded by the kitchen staff. They all thought it was hilarious.
Hey, there's worse things that could be your
oh,
thing.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
We talked about pranks last show. Yep. That's pretty tame as they
yep.
go.
Yep. So there you go.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
You also said there was something about Beaulieu not liking the bobblehead. Or something about the bobblehead?
Oh, yes. A bobblehead was ordered last year. And due to major management malfunctions that no longer exist within the organization, we had thousands of bobbleheads stored at the business, at the headquarters.
Uh-huh.
All because the order didn't get in on time, so the order didn't show up on time, so we missed bobblehead night. So we had to save them for this year, hoping that Josh didn't get cut.
Yeah.
Or would be unable to play anymore due to the injury and would end up retiring or something, and we've got thousands of bobbleheads laying around.
Yeah, I'm sure those weren't cheap either, even though they were sponsored.
I have no idea.
That would have been eating a lot of money.
So, yeah, that's the story on that.
Nice. And then the other thing was the baby blue third jerseys.
That one I want to save until the next overtime that we do. I want, just because people who are listening now have already clicked, they're already on clicking. So let's save that story. That's a doozy of a story. That's some big time story action. So let's save that to where people are listening to the radio and they get teased with the overtime and whether they actually go to overtime or not. So you're going to have to make a note of that one because that one's I'll break a story on that one.
Cool. All right. Then we'll start. You see the first segment name here?
Shocker. DDS. Ooh.
Yes. Drill in the mouth.
Yep.
This time about the Cincinnati trip. So you mentioned on the air that the Cyclones told you the game would start 10 minutes late and then it started on time.
What I've been doing is, as I've been going to these arenas, I see how their off-ice officials work, and I see how their game day ops work, and I take pictures on my phone and take notes and everything else, and I bring it back so that we can always do things better. We learn from teams that are doing it really well, and mm-hmm. we can make adjustments. And they had posted on our locker room wall the schedule, minute by minute, of everything that was going to happen. And so I saw that they had a ceremonial puck drop and the whole thing, and everything was going to go on at 10:40 Eastern time. So I took a note of it, and I emailed WEOA, and I said, hey, look, it's, you know, they've got a ceremonial puck drop and a couple other things. It's 10:40. So we started the broadcast at 10:10 Eastern time.
Yeah, I was wondering why you didn't go on right at the top of the hour.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, the puck is dropping, and I'm still going through half of my notes. So I guess they did it really quick. I don't know. It was one of those last minute, well, the kids are here and all the buses are here. Let's go. So we went. and I missed the first goal.
And you didn't get to play your pregame, your pre-recorded interviews and all
that
stuff.
That's a whole other issue.
And then you had all sorts of audio issues. You kept losing the connection and stuff.
That was their internet issue. I'm actually using my own personal laptop because the laptop I inherited sucked and wouldn't work. And so the Iceman bought me a new laptop, and it's too good, I guess. It is beyond the capability of the operator. So
well,
I'm still working.
A TI-86 is beyond this operator.
So, yeah. There's equipment issues in the broadcast booth. That's all I'm going to say.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Attendance for that game, 4783.
I can't believe that. I would have guessed 8,000.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was packed. Huh. And they were loud.
Huh. So. Yeah, they put 4783. It sounded, I didn't really hear them a whole lot.
Well, maybe that's what a real 4783 looks like.
Not the Iceman 4783
yes.
that goes through the old Chip Rossetti calculator?
Yep.
Hmm. Okay. how loud were they compared to the kids at our game?
Just as loud.
Really?
Yep. The only thing, what I liked, what we do better, is they just kept playing the same during intermission. Mm-hmm. They played the same three, you know, the jump up and down dancing songs mm-hmm. that all the kids know and go crazy for, where I thought we always did a really good job of working through
more interactive stuff.
Yeah. So the kids had fun, but the intermission two was identical to intermission one as far as getting the kids pumped up and everything else.
Hmm.
The one thing they do better is
doo-doo.
They do. Wow, that's twice in one night.
Yeah. You dropped a deuce times two.
Deuce times two. Deuces are wild.
Deuces squared.
But
math is hard.
They actually have education segments on the Jumbotron during their intermission timeouts where they're calculating save percentage, they're calculating physics and everything else. And Nick Brunker, who is the fantastic, one of my favorite broadcasters ever, is actually going to bring me the DVD of what they do so that I can show it to the Icemen so that we can do something like that next year.
That's really cool.
Yep.
So was it mostly elementary age there too? Like it was here, or was there a mix?
It's a mix.
High school
mix, just like us. Not as many high school as our, or maybe a little bit more high school than what we get, mm-hmm. but yeah, same kind of mix.
It seemed like the first year we did it, there were more high schools, and then over the 3 years, it seems like now it's more elementary than anything, or at least elementary and middle. Because it seems like the pitch gets a little bit higher every year. I did listen to the broadcast. It's the first time this year I've gotten to listen to the whole broadcast. I appreciated when they played the Macarena that you said it was an ode to me. That was nice.
That is true.
But the thing that I noticed more than anything is you are the king of double entendres.
I mean to be, but not for these two.
You just butt checks and getting rammed from behind.
Butt check, the actual technical hockey term is ass check, but I can't say ass check, so I have to say butt check.
Technical hockey term?
Yes.
Ass check?
Yes. You are obviously not a hockey player if you don't know what an ass check is.
Oh, I know what it is. I just didn't realize that was the, quote, technical term.
Indeed. I do say the derriere check as well, nice. Again, because I have to avoid the ass check.
So, yeah, lots of double entendres, though.
Rammed from behind, that one. Did I say that one?
Yes,
did
you did.
I?
Yeah. Not long after butt check, actually.
The timing of that was guilty on that one.
Interesting.
That's just part of that's why I'm the mouth of the Iceman.
Yeah.
I've chosen that name on purpose. And there are people that don't like my broadcast style. Say I'm unprofessional.
Yeah.
I'm not for the weak of heart.
No. You're a fan. You speak like a fan. All honesty, I really enjoy your broadcast because I think it's very relatable because it is like a guy that's just a fan that you could just as well listen to him on the radio or sit next to him at a bar and watch the same game and have just as much fun.
Yep, that's my style.
Yeah, and maybe
we'll
it's
see
not
if I have a job next year.
Maybe it's not for everybody, but I personally think it's to say it's a monumental improvement over the former broadcaster's style would be an understatement. We'll just put it that way.
All right.
You barely had time to mention it because then play resumed, but you said for the first time in your broadcasting career you had to mention there was a bird in
yes.
the arena. Would you care to expand on
you
that?
You know how like you go to Lowe's and Home Depot and every once in a while because they have the bay doors open that they get in there? Well, the Coliseum or the U.S. Bank Arena is an older building. It has, I guess it was built in the 40s, and it has the steel girder structures. So it looks older, like an old World War II kind of building. And I don't know how it got in there. It is right on the riverfront, and they do have the big bay doors. But I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this bird goes flying right in front of my face. At first I thought it was the puck, and I'm like, holy crap, that was a bird. So I have never broadcast with a bird in a building before.
Huh.
So I never even really noticed any at like Castle football games or anything like that. I guess because there's so much noise and smoke and everything else and the barbecue's gone. I've never even seen a bird there.
Hmm.
But
here,
yeah,
I'll show you one.
There you go. There's two birds. That's the first bird I've seen in the studio as well.
Yeah. I've actually seen that before, not while broadcasting, but like I've mentioned before, I played youth hockey at the Coliseum in Indy, and it's an old building like that too, and they have the garage doors on both ends because that building is used for so much other stuff at the
fair. Well,
and
a lot of times too, like the Zamboni scoops up all that ice and it goes into the container in the front of the Zamboni. So that's where it all goes magically. And Swander has a bay inside where they dump it all.
Right. But not all rinks have that.
The older rinks, the Zamboni would drive outside through the big garage doors and then dump it out in a big snow pile.
And then you just let Mother Nature take care of it. Yeah,
or the kids that come by play King of the Hill.
Yeah, that too. But at the Coliseum in Indy, because those doors are open so much for fair things and other events and stuff, it was not uncommon to see more than one bird in the building at the same time. We'd be playing a youth hockey game on a Saturday morning, and next thing you know, there's a bird sitting on the bench. They were not scared of human beings, even hockey stick wielding human beings. So yeah, it happened all the time up there, but I could see how it would definitely throw you for a loop if you're in the middle of a broadcast and it flies right in front of you. Any other thoughts about the building? You mentioned it's a huge building. It holds like 14,000 if they...
16,000, really? And it has the old school luxury boxes, but like the glassed ones, but it's at the very top.
The skybox.
Yes, the skyboxes. Before all the people said, we're spending thousands of dollars here. You got to give us the best seats in the house and move us down.
We
like
don't
they
want to
are
be in the rafters.
Yeah, in the Ford Center. So I thought that was really cool. So, they also have Labatt Blue on tap. It's the second arena I've been to that has Labatt Blue on tap. And I know it's only wishful thinking. I have nothing against Coors Light or people that drink Coors Light, but sweet mother have mercy. How we cannot have Labatt Blue or – no, they didn't have Labatt Blue. Molson Canadian was on tap. Labatt Blue and a local brewery is on tap at Kalamazoo.
Huh.
So I'm just saying that you can drink more than just Coors Light.
I don't think you're ever going to see Molson or Labatt on tap here, but if enough people pushed for it, they would probably add cans or bottles or something. You never know.
I don't know. But whatever.
If they think there's money to be made, they'll do it.
Yeah, and that's part of it. And I understand, but it's just nice to be in the hockey Midwest.
Yeah. I'm sure you won't see Labatt Blue in Gwinnett.
No.
Is it Keystone Light?
Yeah. Red Stripe.
Any other thoughts about the arena?
No, it's a beautiful complex, and they're all right there, the Cincinnati Bengals Stadium and the Red Stadium, and you're right on the river.
A row
and
of
it's
sporting buildings.
There's that one older bridge, not the highway bridge that you take in, but it's an older bridge farther down the river. It's right underneath that, and there's actually, you go out on the second floor plaza, and you can look right out onto that bridge, and you can walk around up there, and it's beautiful.
That's one of the things.
Very scenic.
That's one of the things I think that's pretty neat about where the new Busch Stadium is in St. Louis, because the one end of the building butts right up to the interstate, and it's just kind of neat that you've got this palace of sports that it's almost, you know, you could throw something from the building and hit a car driving by on the highway. It's so close. So anyway, the last
thing. Oh, but it is one other thing, similar to Gwinnett, done better, maybe, but no press box. So again, you're sitting in bleacher seats with a table up there. But now they're in their bowl, because it's so big, their upper bowl is completely taped off. They're not like the curtain at the Ford Center. No one goes up there except for staff. Mm. But yeah, I had to broadcast from a seat. And,
at the front of the upper deck.
And it's just uncomfortable. if you ever think about it, just like to sit there and watch a game is fantastic, but to actually take notes and operate a laptop and stuff, it's like sitting in the bad chair at your house trying to do work.
Yeah, because you need to move around a lot over the course of the game.
Not really.
Not moving, but just shuffling.
Nah, it's more you're sitting too low. It's like nice and low and comfortable if you're watching a game, but too low if you're doing work.
Ah, yeah. Did they have a table in front of you at least?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So you could
Write. they had a bigger table than what's at Gwinnett. Gwinnett's like a 2x8.
You mean South Carolina?
Oh yeah. I got Gwinnett that on the brain because I got to drive there.
You're spending Thanksgiving
there.
Yeah,
exactly.
So the last thing from the broadcast is I noticed during the game that we apparently traded Josh Beaulieu for a man by the name of Josh Beaulieu.
Yes, Josh Beaulieu.
So
it's official.
So what happened to Beaulieu?
Josh approached me and said, I don't want to be called Beaulieu anymore. I want to be called Beaulieu. I said, I don't care about you. What does Mom say? And he said, no, it's cool. Mom wants it changed too. I'm like, are you sure? Because back in September, it was all about Beaulieu. So I'm assuming all the maniacs just drove him crazy asking him the question. What is he?
So he was like, just to shut the fans up.
And I'm like, so are you sure? I said, what about Grandma? He's like, well, Grandma really likes Beaulieu. I'm like, well, who's winning here, Mom or Grandma? And he's like, just make Mom happy. Go back to Beaulieu. I'm like, okay. So
cool.
We made the change. But you know what's funny is I had to practice to say Beaulieu because I've always said Beaulieu.
Right.
If not worse, and with my pronunciation. So I had to practice saying Beaulieu, Beaulieu, Beaulieu. I actually made the change Friday night. He approached me last week, so Friday night against Orlando. I don't know how many different versions of Beaulieu I said.
Trying to make a transition.
I couldn't get it. It was like Beaulieu, Beaulieu. I think I had a – it was brutal. I'm like, oh, this is horrible. I'm so glad we're at home.
Yeah, not many people are listening to this.
So it actually took me two games to get back to Beaulieu.
It was pretty consistent on Tuesday.
I think I did screw up one time, but yeah.
Oh, you screwed up a lot more than
I'm Beaulieu. Yeah.
All right. Moving on, wanted to mention the jersey auction results, the camo jerseys.
Unbelievable.
Oh, no kidding. $19,050 total.
That's the biggest ever, right?
Second biggest. One of them last year got a little bit more. It surpassed $20,000. An average of $866 per jersey, which is much higher than the first auction last season. Normally, over the course of the season, each auction seems to get higher because people get more familiar with the players and they're more emotionally invested. Last year, out of the four in-season auctions, the first one was the lowest of the four. But the big winner was Matt Shepke, $25.50. And I'm not saying $25.50. I'm saying $2,550 for a hockey jersey.
Good thing he scored that game-winning goal.
That's true, yeah. But believe it or not, that is just shy of our all-time single jersey record. The record is $2,600. Brian Bisek's Wish Upon a Star jersey in our second CHL season got $2,600.
Yep.
Crazy.
Crazy. I was telling Brian Patafi, and I mean, it's great. We appreciate it. It goes to a good cause. Part of it does anyways. But I told Brian Patafi, I said, you know how much I love Jerome Iginla. And I can tell you right now, there's no way I would pay $500 for a Jerome Iginla jersey if he took it right off of his body and handed it to me. So, but whatever, to each their own.
What if it was sweaty and you could get his DNA?
Why would I do that?
To like try to make your own little Jerome Iginla?
If we get out of here soon enough, I can try to get home and make my own Jerome Ginla.
I see. Second on the jersey auction was $1,100 for number 11, Jason Dale.
Yeah, I heard you, knuckleheads.
Did you really?
Yep,
In the press box. Well, see, he came up and like we could see that it was him, but the auctioneer hadn't done anything yet. And there was this quiet moment and Rickard was sitting right next to me and he goes, "Think we should do it?" I was like, "Yes, we should." And he's like, "Okay, how are we going to do it?" I said, "Well, just do it on three. One, two, three." And then we did it. It was just one of those spur of the moment. Like 5 seconds after he said, "Do you think we should do it?" We did it.
I think you guys got an EOA.
Really?
Yeah.
It was that loud?
Plus I had it because just for like background noise while I was wrapping everything up, I had the ice mics up a little bit higher so you could hear the auction going on in the background.
Nice. So. Yeah, so we take credit for boosting the value of that jersey. $1,000, Matt Krug and Jacob Johnston at $1,000.
Impressive.
That was a little surprising to me. After playing
not Krug.
One home game. No, not Krug at all.
Yep.
$975 for Moon and Beaulieu. $900 for Guy Lepine.
Love it.
$850 for Levier.
Yep.
$750 for a whole slew of guys. Lavin, Clark, Lowry, Larkin, and Langlois. Which that Langlois one could be a bargain at that.
Well,
compared to the others.
Keep an eye on Lavin and Larkin, too.
That's true. Really, all five of those could be a bargain at that kind of price.
Keep an eye on Lavin and Larkin.
And then they also did a number 21 team jersey. There was no name on the back of it, but the entire team signed that jersey. Did you sign it? No broadcaster?
No broadcaster.
It would have been worth at least $50 less if you had signed it.
I have signed two autographs so far this year.
Really?
Yep.
Ivy and Ivy?
Nope. And both people, I said, "Are you serious?
You really want
why?" Come on, just do it. I'm like, no, I'm going to ruin this.
Its value will go down.
Some people.
To each his own. Yep. The team jersey also got $750. $725 for Seidel and Kennedy.
Like it.
$700 for Bouvet-Morissette and Clemente.
Kind of surprising. That,
yeah.
Usually the goalers, there's always that weirdo goalie person. Maybe weirdo goalie person wasn't in attendance.
Maybe not. I don't know. Sakaris at $650.
Yep.
$600 for Hannah and Bartis, which Bartis is probably would have gone for more than that if
had he played. That one might be the steal of them all.
Yeah. And then Lauren Barron was the lowest at a crisp $500 bill.
I really like Lauren Barron. That one could be
the
deal, too.
Yeah,
he just seems one or two plays away from breaking it all loose.
Yeah,
so.
He looks like a rookie at times, but most of the time he plays...
First-year pro.
Yes. Most of the time he plays beyond his experience. And he's only going to get better as he gets more experience. So, I agree. Seeing him last on the list. But really, with this team, there are no weak links. So somebody's got to be last. But
yep.
$500 for a guy who's last place, that's not too shabby. Considering when we did our first jersey auctions the last season at Swander, there were, you know, times where it was we'd start at $250 and have to go down just to get rid of jerseys. I remember poor Jeff Walker was conducting those auctions, and they'd start at $250, and it'd be dead quiet.
Swander.
Yeah, they'd be in the lobby of Swander, and all right, starting bid $250, and then crickets chirp. And then, all right, $200, $175, and it was like begging people to bid. So, yeah, we've come a long way. Last segment.
Loose pucks.
Random topics throughout the world of hockey. We'll start with your boy, Nazem Kadri.
We like to call him Nazem the Dream.
Nazem the Dream. Three-game suspension through Tuesday's game. Last Wednesday at Minnesota, he steamrolled Wild goalie Nicholas Backstrom with an elbow to the face. Backstrom day-to-day with a concussion. Later in the same game, Kadri got a match penalty for targeting the head of Michael Granlund. Kind of left his feet in the hit and jammed his head into the glass. And that even drew the ire of Don Cherry. He said, quote, "Smarten up, you played stupid. So when Grapes is the voice of reason, you know you messed up."
It's always the voice of reason.
Yeah, for knuckleheads. So, any defending
All
your
I
boy?
Know is my family and my brother's family know that when Don Cherry comes on the TV, everyone is quiet.
Everyone listens.
Because that's your learning for the week. That's more important than church.
You never know what he's going to say.
That is true.
The Church of Grapes. So what can you defend?
What?
Can you defend Nazim?
No, I'm not going to cry baby and be like, the referee didn't see him swing his stick at him behind the play. They're cheating. No, I mean, I watched it. I didn't see the hit on Backstrom. Then I saw the other one, and it just, I don't know, maybe his girlfriend broke up with him or something. How do you run over a goalie and then get a match penalty later in the game? I mean, he was just obviously hell-bent. But Leafs went 2-1 while his suspension was going on, so we're good to go.
So the key to the Leafs' success is have key players get suspended.
Well, no, but let's just say we've got a pretty talented team.
True.
So
it's just a matter of living up to that.
13 of our 21 games, we've had one of our top six suspended.
Man.
With the Clarkson and...
And now Kadri.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, they're doing all right despite that.
Yep. Speaking of the Preds, we play them Thursday night. They road trip up to the TO.
Ah. We'll talk a little Preds. Recently finished their insane road trip, 7 games over 17 days. It was the longest road trip in franchise history, over 6,800 miles traveled.
I think I'm going to do that in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. The trip started okay, but then they lost their last four on the trip, including back-to-back 5-0 shutouts at Winnipeg and New Jersey.
After they won 6-4, and then Philip Forsberg got his first even strength goal of the season, and then they sent him down to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then they didn't score for 2 games. Brilliant.
That was a head-scratcher.
Brilliant.
In those 4 games, they got shut out twice. They had 2 goals total in those 4 games. They obviously missed Pekka-Rinne, but you got to score to win, regardless of who the goalie is. If you don't score, you're not going to win. So,
unless it's Alan York, because he doesn't want to play here.
Right, true. Offense has always been their problem. They did find offense in their first game back at home on Saturday, beat the Blackhawks 7-2, then turned around, went to Detroit on Tuesday, and shut out the Red Wings 2-0, the first time the Preds have ever shut out the Red Wings at the Joe. Which, with all the quality goalies Nashville has had and their defensive style, you would have thought that would have happened at least once in the past with Vokoun or Pekka or someone else. So it's a little surprising. And the goalie who did it was Marek Mazanek.
Yeah.
AHL call-up, started the season with the Milwaukee Admirals. And because of Rene's injury and Carter Hutton's inability to stop pucks, which is supposed to be his job, Mazanek has been playing and played very well. Nashville made a lot of moves during the offseason. They spent to within about $4 million of the cap, but they're struggling to stay afloat in these super tough West. Obviously, Rene's injury doesn't help, but during the losing streak on the road, the pitchforks were out in Nashville. A lot of people really starting to call for the head of Barry Trotz, who's been their coach since the franchise's inception. My question for you is, what do you think it will take for David Poile to fire Barry Trotz, or will he? Is it the situation where Poile and Trotz are attached to the hip, and the only way Trotz ever gets fired is if someone above Poile fires them both?
I don't know. I think Barry Trotz has done a good job.
I think he has drafted
everything, all homegrown talent, et cetera, et cetera. But this I think has been their worst year in a while. So I think if no playoffs, Trotz will be gone.
Do you think Poile remains?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah. He hasn't done really anything wrong.
I don't know. I think
the only thing that you could possibly say he did wrong was letting Suter go and keeping Weber.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I don't know that they would have been able to keep Suter. I mean, if he really wanted to leave, I don't know that you can blame Poile for that.
So, but, there you go.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah, I like Poile a lot, and I like Trotz a lot. I think he's a great coach, and I think it's a shame that when the Preds were really contending a few years ago that he never won the Jack Adams. I thought he deserved it a couple times and didn't get it because, in part, it's Nashville. But I think Trotz is an excellent coach. He's a great interview. I love watching his post-game press conferences. The Preds post most of those on their website. And it's just, you can learn a lot by just listening to Barry Trotz talk about hockey. And he understands, he's one of those guys that understands he's in a non-traditional market and he speaks appropriately. Mm-hmm. He speaks so that hockey fans know what he's talking about, but he's also not going over the heads of new fans. It's a great interview. He does a weekly segment on the I think it's 102.5 The Game, the station that carries the Preds, and they post their weekly interviews with him online too. So if you want to hear an NHL coach talk, that's a really good interview. Go find some Barry Trotz audio. But yeah, I agree. I think this might finally be the year that if they don't make the playoffs, he may get the axe. But I'm not sold on that happening because the West is just so ridiculously tough this year. I don't know if there's – even if Rene comes back and lights the world on fire and they start scoring 4 goals a game, I don't know if they're going to get in because the West is just sick. The other day, I think it was after – it was either going into Sunday or after Sunday's games, the first-place team in the Eastern Conference – would have not made the playoffs in the West.
Yeah, but those kind of numbers don't mean that much to me.
Because your Leafs are in the sucky East?
No, it wouldn't have bothered me anyways because, I mean, who gets to play Edmonton all the time?
That's true.
And now, the Metrosexual Division, they're horrible. They're really bad. But,
agreed.
Other than that, there's some bottom-dwelling teams in the West that the others are getting the beat up on.
So. By the way, is there any truth to the rumor that the Metrosexual Division is going to be broadcast on the new Esquire network? I saw
Sean Avery.
The cable channel, the cable channel that used to be Style has been rebranded as the Esquire network, and they actually are promoting themselves as catering to the Metrosexual audience.
It's possible.
So maybe that'll be their sports content. Is they'll get the rights exclusively to the Metrosexual Division. Show some hockey.
Last week on OT, you asked me if I thought Tampa Bay would make the playoffs or not. And I said absolutely not. And they've won a bunch of games since then. So I'm starting to think that may be my first screw-up of the year, prediction-wise. Prediction-wise.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
But then the next question is, can Nashville make the playoffs? And my guess is no.
I don't think so.
And then I guess one thing, I used to go down to Nashville every year for their fan fest. Mm-hmm. It was always really cool, and they'd interview David Poyle.
They
and
do a great
else.
Job with all their fan stuff down there.
And it was awesome, and hopefully I'll make it down this year. But 2 years ago I was down there, 3 years ago, and they kept talking about, we've got all these young kids, they're about ready to break loose, blah, 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 blah. Patrick Hornquist scored 30 goals in his season. He's just coming into his own, blah, 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 blah. And all those kids are horrible. They're not horrible, they've never developed into – I mean, when is this team going to have a 30-goal scorer?
Yeah, maybe Forsberg has the talent to be one. But.
Yeah, and that's part of it too, is if they're regrouping and say, well, we're going to develop with Forsberg and everything else, I understand it, but man – I don't think David Poyle was trying to sell a bill of goods, but it didn't come through. And they're just not an offensive team.
Well, I think part of the problem is you can't take a guy who has 30-goal talent and get 30 goals out of him if he doesn't have the right guys around him.
Yep.
And Nashville is a team that perpetually puts the David Legwans and Mike Fishers of the world on the top two lines.
Yep.
And those are third-line centers. But they're expected to play first-line minutes, and because they're on the first line, the other guys who may actually have first- and second-line talent get drugged down a little bit, and it really
you throw the system on top of it.
Yeah. Yep. They're a defense-first system out of necessity because they don't have the talent to really run and gun like the more talented teams. And then when you have guys that really are playing over their heads as far as their role goes – I think it does stunt the growth of guys like Hornquist. Hornquist has the potential to be a top-notch power forward in the NHL. And then you got guys like Craig Smith.
Yep.
He was supposed to be the next big thing for them, and then he airmailed that empty net goal when he missed an empty netter from 4 feet away, and he's never been the same since. And now you got a guy like Forsberg who may be the next big thing, but yeah, he scores a goal and then gets sent down to Milwaukee, and what does that say about how they're going about developing the guy? You know, if he's got that kind of talent, you just got to put him out there and let him run with it and see what happens. Because he's not going to score 30 goals in the NHL if he's playing in Milwaukee. So, yeah, I don't know. It's I like the Preds, and I love Barry Trotz, but it really makes you wonder how many years can they go through this where they're supposedly on the cusp and either get in the first round and lose or miss altogether. They've been a very consistent team the last few years, but last year was a train wreck, and this year so far is not looking any better.
Well, and then last year was injuries and strike shortened. So
yeah,
but this one is bad.
This one's not doing well. I think the one thing I'll say is I think Trotz has a better chance of keeping his job if Rene comes back and they're at least competitive down the stretch and make a push. I think Trotz comes back. If they just lay an egg and are well out of it and are, you know, competing for a lottery pick again, then, yeah, there's a decent chance that Trotz's days may be numbered, which would be unfortunate, but you figure the guy's been there forever. He's the longest tenured coach in the NHL. Something's got to change eventually.
Yep. Talk about your favorite team, the Detroit Red Wings.
How dare you say that? I will talk about them, actually, because I enjoy talking about the Red Wings struggling.
Yep. They are not a good team.
Not really. They had five straight overtime or shootout losses going into the game against the Preds the other night.
Yep,
which
crazy.
I think they said that was only like the fourth or fifth time that that has ever happened in the NHL, that a team had lost five straight in overtime or shootout. They are now winless in their last seven games. They are the coldest team in the league, and the big problem, according to most of the experts, and I can't really disagree, is that they have no depth on offense.
Nope.
They have Datsyuk and Zetterberg, point-per-game players, again, they are every year.
Worth watching.
That is about it. Daniel Alfredsson has 14 points in 19 games, which isn't bad for his age. And
he's got a broken penis.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Broken penis.
Really?
Yep. That's also hockey technological term.
Uh-huh. You got a broken penis from having an ass check?
No. Just being old.
Oh, okay. Johan Franzen, 10 points in 17 games, and that is it. Through 22 games, they have no other forwards that are even in double-digit points. Two of the worst defenders, Dan Cleary, a three-time 20-goal scorer, has 3 points in 21 games.
Well, and we never even talked about that whole, they weren't going to give him a contract, and then Philadelphia and then signed him to a three-year contract, but he had to make it through training camp first, and then Detroit came back and offered him a one-year, $2 million deal. All the drama that was in there. So.
Yeah. And then the big splash that was supposed to be their saving grace.
This is the one that surprised
Steven Weiss, a four-time 20-goal scorer, has 3 points in 17 games, and the Red Wings fans and Detroit media are all over him.
Yep.
And I suppose rightfully so. So
unless it's the opposite of like Legwan and Fisher, that he's talented enough and Bertuzzi and Cleary can't keep up with him.
Well, Bertuzzi can't keep up with anybody.
Well, he's on his line. That's the number two line is Weiss, Bertuzzi, and Cleary.
And Cleary. And Alfredson's playing with Datsyuk and Zetterberg, right? Yeah.
Well,
and
then, I guess Franzen's in there. So, but Alfredson's been injured with that bad groin. So,
I thought it was a broken penis.
It's the same thing.
So my question for you is, the
my
Red
question
Wings,
for you is, if you got a bad groin, you think your penis works? Can your penis do what your penis is supposed to do when you have a bad groin?
I think if I say anything to answer that, that's going to be more talk about my penis than anyone listening to this wants
I'm
to
just
hear.
Saying. I've
my
had a bad,
wife included.
I've had a bad groin before. Your penis is broken. It just doesn't work.
Oh, boy. This is definitely going to make the tease for this episode. So my question for the Red Wings, the team of broken penises, is there's a pretty decent chance they'll make the playoffs because the East is terrible. And even though they've been losing like this, they're still like fourth in the East. But is there any chance this team rights the ship and contends for a cup?
No, but I said that last year and they put it all together.
At the last minute.
As bad as their offense is, their defense is horrible. Their defensemen, they're not horrible, but gone are the days of Lidstrom and Rafalski who can move that puck.
Yeah.
Cronwall is fantastic. He's one of my favorite players in the league, but he's not Lidstrom. He's not Rafalski as far as power play and puck movement and getting assists and jumping into the play and everything
he's
else.
He's more
and
of a traditional like second pairing defenseman.
Well, no, he's a good number two. If you got that puck moving guy and then he's the physical part with it that is defensively solid. But so no, he's a first line D man, but he's not an all-star.
No.
And
he's not a power play quarterback.
No. And he's the best by far. And it just goes down with Jonathan Erickson and
Who else do
Jacob
they have
Kindle,
on
Jacob Kindle, D Jonathan Erickson, Jacob Kindle, David DeKaiser, who came in. He was that unrestricted free agent or undrafted free agent that came out of Western Michigan.
And now he's hurt.
He's a big, tall kid, moved the puck well, and blah, blah, blah. And then he just got bad, or everyone figured him out. Jacob Kindle, Kyle Quincy, who they gave a first-round draft pick up years ago down to Tampa Bay. And he's the one that everyone likes to whip and beat and everything else. And then they got Brendan Smith and some other kids. So
and they bought out over the offseason. They bought out Carlo Koliakovo,
old
Splody Bones, who has recently signed with the Blues.
Yeah,
for added depth because Jordan Leopold got hurt. But I mean, say what you want about Koliakovo not being able to stay healthy, you got to think he would be an upgrade over one of their third pairing guys in Detroit, don't you?
No,
you don't think so?
No.
I don't know.
He can't stay healthy.
Well, that's the problem, yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
He misses 20 games a
season. That's why we traded him out of Toronto.
That's true. That's why he doesn't stick anywhere for too long.
No, I can't actually believe he got another job, to be honest. Not that he isn't a great kid. I mean, he's a great kid, but he can't stay healthy, not at this level.
I'll be interested to see how much he really plays with the Blues. This might be Ian Cole's chance to finally crack the lineup on a consistent basis, and Koliakovo may be the seventh D-man. Who is just there for insurance purposes? Because, I mean, otherwise, why do you keep this Ian Cole kid around? He's supposedly their next blue chip defensive prospect, and this is, I think, his third or fourth season in a row where he's been their seventh D man on a regular basis. Kind of like Langlois wanting to be sent down here. You're not going to learn and expand your game and get better if you're always on the bench. Or always in the press box.
Yeah, but I don't think you ask to get sent down to the A when you're in the NHL.
Well, no, that's a different story. Yep. You gladly collect your $700,000 paycheck to sit in the press box 70 games a year. But yeah, is that it? We done?
I'm a spitter.
I beg your pardon.
That was my other breaking news.
You're a spitter.
Yes.
Where did this come from? Did you spit on somebody else?
I had to clean my computer screen because I guess when the excitement of the game and everything else, I couldn't even see it anymore. And I so I got one of those laptop screen.
Do I need to get you a squeegee?
Things, maybe. Or Saran wrap or something. And I started cleaning it and I realized, holy crap, there's so much spit on this. And I can actually see some of the functions on my computer that I couldn't see before.
All right, tech gurus, get on it. We got to find Derek a laptop that has a windshield wiper.
Or I need a filter or something on my mouth by the microphone. That's all I got.
Your brain doesn't have a filter, so.
Yeah, it does. So. Remember earlier we were talking about those redheads? I didn't say anything?
That's true.
There you go.
Sometimes the filter works.
No. It was when you were talking about Brad Perkins and all that beaver up in Canada.
What?
Exactly.
Oh, little Mr. Broken Penis.
But I'm the man of double entendres.
Yeah. A broken penis is a single entendre.
Broken penis is really? A
broken penis
is broken penis.
It's unfortunate. Yeah,
it's what it is.
Soupy chiming in with his broken penis knowledge. He said it's not much.
All right, are we done?
I think we're done.
All right, let's go home.
Let's say broken penis one more time.
No,
can let's we say? Can we say it Jason Dale style?
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. No, we're not. That's just weird.
I think we need to. People want us to.
No,
you know they do.
No one's listening at this point.
Exactly. So what harm does it do?
It's my own integrity.
You have that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
From a certain perspective.
From anyone who doesn't know you.
Yes, wrap this thing up.
Broken penis!
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.